Hello, and welcome to Get In We're Going Healing, a place where we talk about mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being to help you become the greatest, most authentic version of you. My name is Tova, and I will be your guide today. So today I felt compelled to come and talk to you about knowing when to act and knowing when to wait. So honoring your healing path, if you're watching the video, don't mind me today. I have a very low energy day today. I peopled a little too much yesterday around a lot of people who have very different energy than I do. And I found it to be very draining, and I'm still recovering today. So as I was saying, one of the things that you'll find on your healing path is the more you try to push things into place, the less it goes the way that you want it to. And one of the things that you have to begin to learn, understand, and integrate is when to apply pressure, when to act, when to move within this journey, and when to sit back and hold back and wait. So on my journey, this was a big struggle. Because I would go back and forth between the levels. I would go on one side, I would deeply feel the need to surrender, and I would just say, well, if it's going to happen for me, if it's going to happen to me, if the universe is going to give it to me, then I don't have to do anything. I'm just going to do nothing. I'll just wait. And on the other hand, then I would get frustrated after I was waiting and then nothing happened. So then I felt like maybe I was wrong in needing to wait. And then tried to force things to happen, make things happen, force conversations that I felt needed to be had, trying to force finding employment instead of waiting for opportunities. Knowing the difference between when to act and when to wait. Now, this isn't just all about surrender, okay? This is knowing when to surrender and knowing when it's time for you to make a decision and move forward on a choice. So it's not about going out and making things happen. It's about waiting for opportunities to come to you and then just making a decision and acting then on the choice available to you. So that might look like, let's say you have, you're self-employed and you have a business that you're running, and you have put a lot of time and effort into marketing. You have put a lot of energy, a lot of finances, a lot of effort into your marketing. And it's not paying off. Not enough to warrant how much energy is putting into it. The energy output isn't equal to the energy input. In that case, the issue might be that you're trying to force the marketing. You're trying to make it happen by putting in more effort. When the universe tries to tell you that ease and then response is the way to go, you're reactive. Now, why are you reactive? There's a good chance if you're putting that kind of time, effort, and money into a marketing budget that your business is not doing as well as you'd hope it to, as well as you'd like it to. So that puts you in a space of fear. You are afraid because the business maybe isn't making enough money to balance stuff out. Maybe you're afraid. You're afraid that the business isn't going to make the finances. You're afraid. You can say all the things you want about the details, but this, but that, but Tova, this, but Tova, that, but da-da-da-da-da. You can name them off all you want. Okay, that makes no difference. The amount of reasons why you're afraid doesn't change the fact that fear is what's driving the motivation to do the heavy marketing. Now, this is not necessarily everybody. This is just an example, okay? So in this example, you're afraid that you're not going to get the business. You're afraid that you're not going to get the income. You're afraid your business isn't going to expand. So you feel the need to do something. You have to act. So you jump into putting all this effort into marketing, and it does not net you the customer base. It does not net you the finances and income that you would hope for the amount of effort and time put in. This would be a case of where you are trying to force instead of wait. Okay. So instead, the answer that the universe provides is to wait. and wait for the opportunities, wait for an opportunity to come to you and make a decision on whether you want to move forward with that opportunity or not. You're moving into a space of response, not react. So putting all the effort into marketing is a reaction to the fear. Whereas a response is, let's say you see an ad somewhere for a fundraiser that you could participate in and then further get your business name out there. Do you earn income from that? No, not if it's a fundraiser. However, that is a much better marketing tool for you than the marketing you were investing the finances and effort and whatnot into. It is still getting your name out there. That's what marketing is. It's getting your business out there so it can be seen. But if you do it through charity work, now you're getting your name out there and you're adding a reputation to your name. It might be dedicating time and effort, but you're already dedicating time and effort through the current models of marketing that you're using, which are not getting you the return that you want. So essentially, it's just effort that's wasted. If you put your effort into something that gets you that marketing, gets you in front of people, and can then more demonstrate your abilities to people, that is going to be far more effective for your business than the marketing you were using. Again, responding. You're looking for opportunities and not hunting opportunities, because this is, again, waiting for the universe to offer. So you just have to look for the opportunities and be open to the opportunities rather than hunting them out. Because when you're hunting them out, you're saying essentially that you know better than the universe, that you know more about how to get the things that you want than the universe does about how to give you what you want. So you'll be met with these type of situations over and over and over and over. This is also something that you'll see in your relationship. If you want your relationship to be better, work on you. And I know how frustrating it is to hear that. But for real, I am not kidding. I am not over explaining something. I'm not under explaining. Plain and simple. When you try to force things, it won't go the way you want because you are trying to make it happen in the way you think that it should, in the timing you think that it should. But the universe gives to you the things that you are meant to have in the timing in which you are meant to have them, when you are ready for them. You wouldn't give the keys to a car to a 10-year-old and expect them to drive when they haven't taken the necessary steps to be ready for driving. They have not taken the lessons. They don't know how to do any of the things. Before they can even begin driving, they would have to be taught those things. You can't just jump from A to B. So in the same thing, you can't just jump into forcing the thing that you want to have happen. Instead, you need to wait and respond to get to that. So when it comes to a relationship, if you're trying to force the relationship to look a certain way, be a certain way, whatever it is you think it should, which, by the way, is usually based on programming, either through society, family. There's lots of different places where we are holding on to the ideal of what something should look like. When we let go of the idea of what it should look like and focus more on what it would feel like to be in a relationship that way, what it would feel like to be in the relationship that you ideally want, right? And then the universe will then say, okay, and then present you with choices, because life is always about choices. Choices will be presented to you. And then all you have to do is decide which way to go. So if traditionally what you've done in the relationship is when your partner brings up something, I don't know, for example, if they bring up something, some type of negative feedback that you might perceive as criticism, okay? If you always perceive it as criticism and you react in the method of it being criticism, what you're going to get is the reaction that you always get when you perceive it as criticism. If you do what you always have done, you'll get what you've always gotten. If you want to change that, you can't demand that your partner not give you negative feedback or not criticize you. Instead, you change how you perceive that. How do you do that? You address the part of you who would take that criticism and take it to heart and take it as criticism, which more than likely, in most cases, is a young version of you, probably a child version of you, who was criticized as a child and whose caregivers, adult figures, were very demanding, very critical of them. And therefore, they are now with that mindset of that child. Whenever someone is critical or gives negative feedback, that version of you goes, wait, I know this, this hurts, this sucks, this is awful, I don't want to feel criticism. And you get defensive and it hurts your feelings and you get emotionally reactive to it. Is it feedback you need to hear? Probably. Is it something that someone's bringing to your attention because it needs to be? Probably. But young you, who holds on to having been criticized, is going to react to that. So, with that in mind, the comment I made earlier about if you want a healthier relationship, you want a better relationship, you want it to look the way that's a good, healthy way that feels a certain way, you got to work on you. Why? Because as long as little you is reacting to that criticism, as long as little version of you is being reactive to anything that has not been addressed or healed, you are going to be reactive to those things in your relationship. When you learn to move past that and learn to soothe little you, that criticism can be taken now instead of as criticism, but as it is intended to be, as feedback. Even if it is negative feedback, feedback is how we make adjustments. Feedback is how we adjust through a relationship. If feedback is not something that you can handle, you need to work on the version of you, the part of you that's on the inside that is reactive to the negative feedback. And when you can do that, and when you can know your value and worth isn't decreased by someone's feedback, whether you take the feedback or not isn't the point. It's the receiving of the feedback and then the emotional reaction that comes with that. So as you work on you and as you heal through that, then even if your partner is giving you negative feedback, you are able to hear and receive the feedback rather than get defensive and then throw back into, well, what about you? You do fill in the blank. That is based on our emotional reactions. That is based on our big feelings. That is based on the parts of us that are still hurting from those things that happened to us when we were small. So how do you have a good, healthy relationship? It's not by pushing your partner. It's not by demanding that they change. It's not by making everything about them. It's about you. It's about you doing what you can on your side. It's about you doing the things you need. Oops. Doing the things you need in order to be in a healthier space. It's you responding instead of reacting. It's you learning when to sit back and wait and when to act. So if we go in the relationship with the feedback scenario, that also goes into understanding that sometimes your partner is going to have a bad day. And sometimes your partner's going to say a bunch of stuff based on their own programming and their small versions of them that are reacting to the things they're experiencing. And allowing grace for that. Knowing when to react and when to respond. Responding would be recognizing your partner's having a rough day and giving them space without taking it personally. Not so easy. I know, I've been through this. I used to take everything personally. And I worked through that. And that's why I share what I share, to help people learn to do the things that I learned to do. Because the old me, the version of me that wasn't really active into healing, knew that I needed to, but didn't address it. She was anxious, general anxiety disorder, borderline personality disorder. I was going through a lot. I could not handle feedback. I could not handle criticism. I would cry or get angry. I was anxious all the time. I was worried all the time. I was always afraid that I was going to get in trouble from someone. I was always afraid that someone was going to come and shout at me over something. I was never really at ease. I couldn't be. I was always on edge. I was always tense. And I was always looking for where someone was trying to hurt me. I was hypervigilant to where someone was going to hurt me. I'm not that anymore. It took work to heal through it. It took work to process through all of these things. It took work to look at these things, these patterns, and address them and work through them. It took work. And it took a lot of working through my feelings, knowing what my feelings were, and then learning when to act and when to wait, and learning when to allow the universe to offer opportunities and selection to me, and when to be sitting back and just being, and not needing to push forward, not needing to look for things to come to me, not needing to act, but knowing that in this space, it's time for me to be at peace and wait, and to be in a state of just calm and waiting and enjoying the pause, enjoying the gap in between, as the card of the Hierophant says in the Osho Zen deck, the no-thingness, the nothingness, but the no-thingness, the space between one thing and the next thing. And that's the other thing I want to talk about in regards to knowing when to act and knowing when to wait. There's going to be times, just as we talked about with the healing path, where there's mountains and there's valleys and there's different levels, right? And you're going to be at a high point, then you're going to be at a low point, then you're going to be a high point again, and that's just how it works. Well, it's the same thing in understanding when to wait and when to act. So there are going to be points in your life where there's times to move forward, like it's time to move into a new house, it's time to start looking at properties, it's time to start talking about families, it's time to change jobs, it's time, many, many different things where it's just, it's time for that, right? And then there's times when you're in the pause in between and there's no action to be done. There's no thing that needs to be solved. There's no emergency that needs to be put out. There's no nothing. You're just in a state of waiting, pause. But that pause is meant for you to be able to do internal stuff, stuff for you, and to not be doing, but just to being, just being. That's it. And then those are the resting periods. And then there's going to be the next challenge or decision that you have to make moving forward that's going to bring these new things to you, right? But there's going to be points where you're not acting and you're just supposed to pause. And it can be very frustrating if we're used to, in the go, go, go culture that we're in, if we're used to always needing to be busy, always needing to be acting, always needing to be pushing, always needing to be grinding, always needing, always, always, always. It can be very hard to be in a state of pause. My cat's snoring over there. You might hear her. She's got a lot of nasally stuff. It can be hard when we're in a space of needing to wait, because it's hard for us if we're used to always having to act. It can feel very uncomfortable to have to be in a spot of waiting, of pausing, of being. There's nothing for you to do. So it can be very hard for people to hear there's nothing for you to do. You don't have to do anything. There's no job you have to do. There's no check mark you have to make. There's nothing you have to do. You just have to wait. And when we're on our healing path and when we're doing our trauma work and healing through our trauma, we can feel like we need to always be pulling out something else to work on. The next thing. Okay, I've worked past this thing. Now give me the next one. Okay, I've worked past that one. Now give me the next one. Because we feel that we need to be productive all the time. We need to be working on it all the time. But there are points in which you are not supposed to be working on it. You are just supposed to be being. Think of it like Shavasana in yoga. So the purpose of Shavasana is to help the body reconnect. Shavasana would be dead man's pose, just laying flat on the floor. For those who aren't familiar with yoga, laying flat on the floor with your arms slightly away from you, your feet relaxed, the whole body's just relaxed, corpse pose, like you're dead. And you're just laying there. And the purpose of Shavasana is, after you've done all these different stretches, to help the body ease back into the feeling of being in the body after everything has been stretched out, because the body's going to feel different. Now that you've done all these movements, now that you've done all these stretches, the body's going to feel differently than it did before. So Shavasana is meant to reconnect the mind with the body in just being. Just that's all you're doing. Shavasana's purpose is just being, nothing more. Just existing and being and noticing and being. So it's the same idea as we work through our different trauma things that are coming up as we heal through them. There are points in which you are going to be in spiritual Shavasana, in trauma Shavasana. You're not going to be working on the next thing. You're just going to be reconnecting with yourself after you've released that item, that thing that you were working on. After it goes, you're going to be in a space where you just need to be. And that's good. That's a good thing. And it can feel very uncomfortable, as I said, if you're used to always feeling the need to be and productive and feel that you're being lazy if you're taking breaks. But that's what we're changing, is that in our nervous system, right? That is a fight or flight response. That's a survival response. And as we move out of a survival response, we are going to need more time to just be. And this can be very hard, and we can beat ourselves up about this, but that's what I'm here to tell you. I've been through this. I've walked this path. I've been doing all of this work, and I can tell you with absolute certainty, these Shavasana moments of pause, of wait, of just wait until the universe drops something in front of you, these are the moments of opportunity. Because the universe will give you your next assignment when this one is done. Your next assignment will always come to you. You don't have to hunt for it. Whatever's next for you will come for you. So don't have to hunt it. Don't have to seek it. Ease. 22:22 on the clock. Ease instead of control. Let go of control. Let go of feeling like you have to go out and find it, seek it, push for it, grind for it. Respond instead of react. Wait instead of seek. So that's my message today. I felt like somebody needed to hear that. I have been down this road, and even I still need the reminder when something doesn't go the way that I wanted to. Something that I had planned went up in smoke, and then I get frustrated and say, but this was the thing I needed. This was, and now it's gone, and now I'm upset about it. And sometimes I forget myself that everything happens exactly when it's supposed to happen, in the timing in which it's meant to happen. And if it wasn't happening then, it's because whatever timeline branch that was going to come from that thing isn't the right timeline branch anymore. And that thing, if it was meant for me, will come back onto where I am. And it will be part of my path still. Will be rescheduled, will be redone, will have another opportunity. All of those things. If it was meant for me on the path I'm on, it will come back around. And I don't ever have to stress and worry. So that is what I've learned, and I'm sharing it with you. Same as I always say with this channel, I am not a professional in anything. I am someone who has been through this healing journey, who has moved from this place of awful into, I am honestly, can easily say I'm the happiest version of me I've ever been. I am truly, genuinely grateful for the life I'm living. I am truly, genuinely grateful for everything I have in my life. And I'm genuinely happy. Do I have all the things I thought I was going to have? No. But it turns out I didn't need those things anyway. They weren't what was going to bring me happiness. I did that by letting go of all the things that were holding me back from being my most authentic self, which, of course, is the tagline in this podcast. That's why I do it. To help you learn to let go of the things that are holding you back from being the best, greatest, most authentic you. So until next time, fellow humans, love and light. Bye.